This is the June 3 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Merrill Crowley of First Choice Commodities. He's out of Watseka, Illinois. Ellen Dearden is here from AgriView in Morton, Illinois, and we're joined by Dale Durkles at Grain Cycles in Bloomington, Illinois as well. Our special guest for the day is Randy Martinson. He's with Martinson Ag Risk Management out of Fargo, North Dakota. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to our programming anytime you'd like on the web at willag.org, willag.org, or search us out in your favorite podcast applications. Randy Martinson, thank you for joining us from Fargo. You've been on the show a couple of times. I know that you deal with producers, certainly in your part of the world there in the Red River Valley. It's been a tough year to begin with there. I'm wondering how the planting season has gone and what conditions are like today and the expectations going into the heat over the weekend.
Boy, you know, yeah, it has been kind of a wild year so far. We thought 2020 was going to be a wild one, but so far 21 has kind of just picked up where that left off. You know, our planting season started fairly decent. You know, it looked like we were going to get in the field and get some early planting done. A lot of spring we put in the ground in March and early April. Then we had a little bit of a break come in there with cold temperatures and a little bit of snow, so we got put back. And then by May, we got going again. Of course, no rain kind of helped a lot of producers to get into the fields and get quite a bit done, not looking at any kind of a prevent plant issue this year like we did last year. But now all of a sudden, of course, you know, we've seen some pretty dry areas. We picked up some spotty rains in different regions down in the southwest corner and in central part of the state. But now all of a sudden we're turning hot and dry, and we're looking at temperatures ranging starting today in the upper 90s. We're going to be in the hundreds the next couple of days, and then next week pretty much back into the 90s, mid-90s, with very few chances of rain coming into play. And right now that is really going to start hurting, especially the spring wheat crop. We had, and just like North Dakota, you can expect anything. We had frost last Thursday. Now all of a sudden we're having 100-degree temperatures.
When you and I talked, and it was very brief as we were setting this up, you mentioned that there may be some replant of soybeans. Was that due to frost or emergence, both? What were the problems that were related to this issue?
You know, it's kind of both. I mean, we had some really strong winds that actually blew some of the soybeans right out of the field. I mean, it uncovered the dirt and blew the soybeans out of the row. And, you know, of course, right after that, then we had the frost. And the frost was the biggest issue that we were looking at. So, yeah, last Thursday night, Friday morning's frost got quite a few acres, especially in the center to the eastern part of North Dakota. A lot of replant going on. And we're doing this now at a time frame when, you know, there's very little moisture out left in the fields, and when we're looking at this heat coming into play. So, you know, we're kind of getting at that replant is not starting off in a good shape.
Our producers in your area, because things are so very dry, conditions have been really tough. If you see pictures from that area, or if you talk to folks, of what I have heard more often than not is we have 3 feet of dust, not 3 feet of dirt at the moment, and that there may be some switching of acres, some of the small grains going to soybeans. Could that possibly be true?
There is some of that that's taking place, you know, because, you know, the wheat basically failed. So they are looking at some replanting of some other crops, or a lot of them are also looking at just trying to put something in just for forage or for cattle feed because of the big cattle operations we have in the western part of the state. So we are seeing some of that take place. But, yeah, there was a lot of trouble this spring trying to get crops planted because we couldn't get a seed bed developed for seed placement. So there was a lot of issues with that as well.
Given all of that, growing crop progress conditions weren't horrible, I don't think, out of North Dakota and Minnesota. What are your expectations on Monday when they release after a weekend of really hot temperatures?
Oh, I think we're going to see conditions start to really show up that are indicative of the conditions that we're seeing right now. So, yeah, I'm expecting that spring wheat conditions will see a pretty big drop. Corn conditions for North Dakota in the last report, I think we were at 47-48% good to excellent. I think we were the only state below 50 in the run. I think we will definitely see that get hit pretty hard with this week, this weekend's weather that's coming into play.
Dale Durkles, it's been an interesting week this week in the marketplace. I'm wondering where you believe we are in the cycles for both corn and soybeans.
With the corn, I'll stand by the idea that the low we put in here roughly a week ago now was probably the 20-week low in corn. So we have turned that thing back to the upside sideways at the least at this juncture. We don't have any cyclic lows in play in the soybeans right now. There's a mid-cycle low due about the 1st of August, but beyond that, you know, we have to go on out into the fall for the next important cycle low in terms of beans. So, you know, early August is the only thing you can kind of point to. And like I said, that's a mid-cycle low that sometimes does or doesn't show up.
Ellen Dearden, can you tell me a bit about the livestock sector as it's related to the fundamentals? And you can mention JBS if you want to take that up and what that might mean for the meat supply. But for some time now, because of the dry conditions that Randy Martinson was telling us about in the Dakotas and how they made their way through, of course, parts of Kansas, the availability of wheat in some of those areas, we know that corn's not being fed, in part because of its very high price, too. Does this make a difference fundamentally going forward for you?
Looking at the cattle market, the first thing I would say is that historically we put a low in cattle sometime about the middle part of June, and that's often the low for the second quarter. I'm just wondering whether the spike down action that we saw on Monday, and that really came, on Tuesday, that really came off the JBS cyber attack. That wasn't a significant low. We have seen a big movement of cattle, particularly out of the Dakotas and into Nebraska because of lack of grass availability. But we've not seen as much liquidation in the South as feedlots started seeing an influx of cattle. I would expect on this next cattle on feed report that we will continue to see heavy placements of cattle, even though some of the estimates, the early estimates that I've seen out on that suggest that they may be lower than they were a year ago, but that was a COVID year. It appears to me that we are feeding wheat. Wheat prices are lower than corn prices in Kansas and Texas, and that will probably continue to offer some support on these cattle futures and also on the feeder cattle as we see a choppy action in the grain sector, particularly in corn. We did see a fairly decent amount of trade at 119 to 122 and a half this week and in the cash cattle market, and I would anticipate that probably will be a point to be looking at for next week as well.
And Merrill Crowley, as I come to you, I'd like you to put this together, thinking about what strategies grain farmers throughout the Midwest might deploy at this time. June can be a time when the market, especially during a weather market, and you'll have to tell me whether that's what we're really in or not, makes a move. Are there things that they should be doing, can be doing? What are you talking to them about?
Well, basically, I guess the answer is yes, we're in a weather market. Typically, that starts with the Memorial Day weekend. However, anymore, I don't know when it stops. We see today's weather forecast change, and it showed more moisture in the dry areas, especially up where Randy's at. And you saw the markets back off. Technically, I'm showing the possibility of an ABC pattern. We could be just doing a small flag pattern to move up. If we are looking at an ABC pattern, I'm looking at the Dease corn, possibly double bottoming at our lows that we just had before moving higher. I think a person should probably be at least 30% priced. Guys are dragging their feet. oh, we're going to have drought, and my area has been hit with dry weather or too much wet weather in the past 3 or 4 years, and this is one of the few years that we're starting off in a pretty good fashion in my area. What can you do? Well, like I said, you can price, you can buy puts. Puts are totally expensive. I'm trying to lean toward doing cash as much as possible, trying to stay away from the futures with the large margin calls and the puts that are seem to be overly priced. A couple of guys that are already at 30% and looking to move into a larger sale, 40 or 50%. We're trying to get, we bought some calls for confidence sales here. Those are working good for right now. Other than that, you know, you're going to be faced with this continuing volatility. We've been talking about that since the beginning of the year, I know. And as you sit and watch that, you're going to be set in an emotional state when you, you know, the best time to market grain is when your crop is most threatened. But that's also the hardest time to sell because of the emotion involved. And so whatever plan you want to put together, I suggest talking to your advisors and getting that plan set.
Cash grain side of the situation, Dale Durkles, especially for soybeans, as the marketplace and the basis levels have slipped, is this giving you any concern?
Oh, it's not giving me a huge concern at this point. I think, you know, what probably is undermining the game a little bit. Number one, the break we had, and you could say the same thing with corn that we had here, you know, from the highs we had in early May. That break itself, and now we've had a rebound and everything, you know, is making farmers with old crop grain left a little bit more willing to parcel it out, and corn maybe even more so than beans after having a buck and a half break on the board. The other thing, when you specifically look at beans, you know, we saw the monthly crush that came in here this last week, and it was a little bit underneath what people were looking at. And then when you step back into the exports, you know, we're seeing these weekly inspections, 6, 7, maybe 8 million a week, you know, and they're real tepid at this point in time. Of course, as much as we've already shipped would indicate, you know, they should be that. But at the kind of pace we're on in the bean exports themselves right now suggest, you know, the USDA is reasonably close to the mark at this point, unless we get something totally surprisingly happened during the remainder of the summer. And meanwhile, as we saw the monthly number here for Brazil, you know, they're shipping stuff real aggressively. I think it was a little over 16 million ton for the month of May.
Ms. Ellen Dearden, we talked about that during the closing market report on Thursday afternoon as well, that Brazil has been shipping out a lot of beans at this point, and the United States is on pace, it appears, for corn exports to meet USDA's number for old crop. How do you put that all together going into the end of this marketing year and the beginning of the new crop, and what might it mean, if anything, for shipments in the first couple of months of the marketing year?
Well, you know, historically speaking, this is Brazil's time to shine with their bean shipments, and they certainly did during that month of May. And the U.S. won't pick up bean shipments until we get into fall, and then those last into about February or March. So I think time's on our side on the beans for right now. The thing that concerns me on corn, I mean, we've been pretty aggressive on corn shipments. We are seeing that the river basis on corn deteriorated over the last couple of weeks' time. So it's the processor's about the only game in town right now. But that river probably will come back. Keep in mind that the Mid-South is terribly, terribly wet. Their corn went in pretty ragged, and I don't expect that we're going to see a lot of corn shipped during, you know, being harvested and able to be shipped during the month of September. And that's really the Mid-South's time to start really shipping corn out and picking up some premiums for doing it early. So we may have a little lull in corn shipments as we get into that mid-August, September time frame and not see anything picked up till we get into October. So we'll probably, and I'm talking about out of the Gulf, we could ship stuff probably out of the Pacific Northwest, and that will be primarily corn. But, you know, we're just kind of skewed in the way we're moving things and the fact that we do have some delayed planting in the Mid-South. I think we will see corn try to be pulled early from Missouri, say, or southern Illinois.
Randy, I was going to transition to you in the PNW. What is the pull there at this point? Is much being shipped that way?
You know, we're not really seeing a lot right now for us as far as exports. Or, you know, our basis levels have widened out. Farmer selling has dried up a little bit. And I think a lot of that is kind of due to, you know, like was mentioned earlier, where, you know, we're in such a dry situation, you know, with the drought. A lot of farmer selling has started, you know, it's really kind of dried up here along with the weather. Mainly as guys wait to see what kind of production they're going to have this year. So we've got a lot of the beans have been, you know, been taken out already. A lot of the corn has been sold, you know, on our last rally. But for the most part, the guys are sitting on their wheat right now, waiting to see where this year's crop's going to come into play. And nobody's really excited about moving anything at this point, just because they're concerned about this year's production.
I do have another question for you because Poet is located there, well, much closer to you than us, in South Dakota, and they made a purchase which really pushed their ability to produce ethanol as a company, although the production was already in play. How has that been welcomed or not in your part of the world?
Well, I mean, it's always good. I mean, you know, Poet, of course, you know, being a kind of a local one, South Dakota company, it'll help bring some more demand, maybe bring in some origination from up in this area if they need to get corn in certain areas. So, I mean, it's always a good thing, and it helps broaden our market horizon a little bit to be able to market into that. And I do know that we've also got some soybean crush plants that are on the works to be built up here in the north, which will also help with being able to make us a little less dependent on the export side of the market like we are right now in beans.
Merrill Crowley, what do we know about crops in Iowa?
Depends on where you're at. Your western areas is pretty dry, and your southwest is wetter now. The interesting thing about Iowa is probably the top two-thirds of the state is most 80 to 90% of their production, while the bottom third is not. So you have to be careful when you look at your weather that way. You know, I was talking to a customer about rains make grain, and he said we probably ought to revamp that. Timely rains make grain. So those areas will be all right if they can continue to get timely rains. It's going to make it difficult to get those timely rains if our temperatures are going to run up into the 100-degree area. And so far, what we're seeing weather-wise is the fact that these models say, okay, we're going to get rain, and then the rain just doesn't develop. So I think it's a fault with, if you believe in what Snodgrass is telling us, it's a fault in these models that they tend to try to push rain into areas even when it's really not going to occur. And so some of these forecasts are going to come out and it's going to make this market drop. But I think Iowa has a good chance to have good crops as long as they get timely rains. I know clear in the northwest, rains there have been 0.8 to an inch, and that's not going to last long if we get the heat.
Del Durkles, when I was talking to Chad Hart, I think in the month of April, I'm pretty certain it was not in the month of May, when I asked about the problems that they were having with Safrinha crop in Brazil, suspected that the way the marketplace in Chicago would handle it would just simply dovetail into a weather market in the United States. It was so far out in front at that point, I wasn't sure that that was could possibly be the case, but it clearly looks like that might be the case, though I still feel like we're awful early for a weather market in the United States related to dry conditions anyway.
Well, you know, this year you got to remember, you know, as far as weather is concerned, and still having the uncertainty of acreage laying on the table in front of everybody at this point in time. And, you know, the problems we have, not just in the Northern Plains, but up into the Canadian prairies, we can't forget them. And, you know, you even come down further south, and we're probably going to see some people in Nebraska start to crank up center pivots with the kind of weather that we've got coming at us here. And even here in the heart of the Midwest, I mean, we aren't overly abundant on moisture. We're not necessarily short, but we're not overly abundant. So I think the sensitivity to weather is probably going to play out early this year rather than later, because everybody is just going to be real nervous about wanting to play the short side of the market at this point. And I think the only time you're seeing the short sides play out, and I'm kind of interested in seeing what the commitment of traders report shows us next Monday, because it won't come tomorrow because of the holiday week. But it looks to me like, you know, the funds have continued to exit the market at this point in time. And, you know, once big money goes, it's not impossible to rally a market, but it's going to be more difficult because you just don't have the firepower. And I think the volatility we're getting into this game is going to tend to dampen some of the fund enthusiasm. So I think weather can play out early. One thing that kind of nerves me a little bit, you know, and it kind of ties into that cycle on corn, when I've seen the duo of the early summer holidays, Memorial Day and 4th of July. If we bottom around Memorial Day and then rally, we get to 4th of July and we do our typical crank to the downside, you know, and then, you know, it seems like always, you know, the weather for late summer straightens out and we have a decent crop in play at this point. So I think the weather anxiousness, the weather concern probably plays a little bit early, and I think it's a levitating force for now. I don't know how to dovetail in what's going on down in Brazil. You know, yeah, the crop is smaller and we've cranked it down, and you know, we're probably getting down to some realistic levels now, getting down around, what is it, 90 million ton, maybe 95 million. But we got to remember, and as Ellen pointed out, you know, we could get a low in corn export demand. They're still going to export some corn. So at the end of summer and into the early part of fall, we're still going to see some corn coming out of there. So I think the game right now is that you have to be aware that as long as the weather forecasts stay questionable, like we're dealing with here today, that, you know, there's going to be levity in the grains. But boy, if you ever get a flip on those weather forecasts, you know, it really, to me, could just slam the door shut, because a drought right now doesn't necessarily kill a crop unless you carry it through to the end like we did in, oh, let's go back into 1987 or 2008. But I worry that we've already chased the funds out of the market.
Randy, I suspect that farmers in your part of the world don't see the weather as questionable in the marketplace at this time. And that must be difficult.
Well, it kind of is, because, you know, and that's one of the things that a lot of producers have been saying this past week or the last couple of weeks, is that, you know, we're looking too much in our backyard. You know, and it kind of is, you know, just mainly North Dakota, Montana, the Canadian prairies, as mentioned, and then maybe a little bit of western Minnesota is where most of this drought is set up. And, yeah, it kind of makes us feel a little isolated up here. But, yeah, and it, you know, it will impact soybeans to a degree. I think North Dakota is like number four in the acres planted, not production, but acres for soybeans. And, of course, we lead in spring wheat. But, you know, spring wheat's a small portion of the wheat raised in the U.S., I think, you know, we'll have an influence in the market and some sort of a spike. But, yeah, if things are going to be good in the Corn Belt, things might not be looked at to this dry area up here that very much.
Ellen Dearden, farmers still have old crop corn. I know they probably are nervous. We've talked about on this program and the last, well, not last week because I wasn't here, but the previous week, about marketing maybe sooner rather than later. What are your expectations for that particular commodity?
We've seen the bean basis fall apart in the last, well, since the 1st of May. The corn basis is still held together reasonably well, but I would expect that corn basis will fall apart as well. So even if you are unwilling to actually flat price corn, I would certainly price basis for old crop bushels that you're going to move this summer, because I think we're just, it's inevitable we'll see the thing fall apart. I really would hope that guys would be totally sold out of old crop corn. I know there's a lot of gambling bushels out there, but I think we ought to be pretty busy here.
Anybody disagree with that assessment on old crop corn?
Not really.
I didn't think so. Hearing none, we'll go on to marketing new crop corn and soybeans. Dale, why don't you pick up? What do you think producers should do, if anything, at this time?
Well, you know, Merrill kind of mentioned out of the chute when he was talking earlier that, you know, he's got people up to say somewhere around 30% sold, priced on. And I think he was addressing new crop corn. I think he might have implied maybe beans too, but I don't want to put words in his mouth. I think the same thing with both, because you look at the market that we're dealing with right now, you know, you have to be a little bit careful about something coming along and giving you a surprise. You know, here in the month of June, and as long as the weather stays questionable, we're going to have some levity. But when you start pushing these corn futures up over $6, you have to start going, you know, I need to get something priced at this juncture. You know, it's really not wise to sit back there and wait, because if you ever do break the thing apart, you know, and let's say we have good late summer rains and reasonably good conditions, you know, you could spin the thing and go down to $5 and maybe even down to somewhere, you know, underneath $5 in a swing to the downside. You know, the November beans were trading here around $14 at this point. You know, if this thing ever cracks under about 13.5, you know, there's probably not much underneath it to get you down to 12. So you're sitting here looking at this thing going, I really need to be managing risk somehow. And, you know, Merrill mentioned, you know, the options are getting real expensive, you know, and I know outright puts are, you know, if you're selling some cash and buying some calls, you know, are doing that. But the one thing I always mention to people at this point, you can use some kind of option spread strategy, like putting on some bear put spreads and kind of pick out where you want your two strikes on those to be. It limits how much money you make if the market does break, but I think you pick those strikes out relative to where the key technical points are in the marketplace at this point. Because the one thing with putting on like a bear put spread, you know, and you know, you're basically dealing with a lot of volatility built into those premiums. And so you want to insulate yourself a little bit from that volatility and the high levels themselves. And I think bear put spreads or even bull call spreads, if you're making a cash sale with it, probably helps you do that.
Merrill, I'll let you follow up with soybeans and if there's anything else that we haven't discussed that you want to bring up as well.
No, I agree with what Dale was saying. That's kind of what I was getting at, both with corn and beans as far as getting some things priced up to about 30%. And then to reiterate what Ellen said about, you know, spreads and basis are important when you're looking for a high in the marketplace. Can weather push us back up to new highs? Sure it can. What odds are you looking at there? Normally they're pretty low. They're probably more like 20 or 30, maybe even 35% odds now that the weather will push you to new highs. We just don't know. But, you know, if you're looking at that being the truth, then you don't have a lot working for you, because on the flip side, you're looking at something like 70% chance that it's going to go lower. And personally, I'd rather bet those odds than try to bet the 20 or 30. But it's always a concern with the producer of having the grain to provide to the marketplace. And in the back of my mind, I keep thinking about 2012, when people had to buy contracts back, some of them were being charged the difference plus a dollar. If this thing is as tight as it is now and continues to tighten because of weather, you know, you have to be careful with your cash marketing and maybe just up and swallow buying some of those options.
Let's wrap up now. I think Ellen Dearden will get a final word from you in Morton, Illinois at Ag Review.
We've seen a lot of volatility in these markets, both in corn and soybeans, during the last month's time. And I think we're in a time frame that we will continue to see volatility, even though the funds have exited both corn and beans, primarily bean futures book. So watch out. There's going to be a lot of wide swinging prices ahead.
Dale Durkles from Grain Cycles in Bloomington, Illinois.
Volatility is going to be in play in here. One thing to kind of keep an eye on, the dollar actually ended up a little bit firmer here today and may actually be trying to build some kind of a double bottom. And I go back into price cycles. We're getting a little bit late, but here in the early part of 2021, we were due for a three-year low in the dollar. And also a change in dollar trend when you change administration tends to happen. So, you know, it to me says that thing could start to firm up. So people need to keep an eye on what's going on in the currency market. The other thing to go along with that, we're getting up dangerously close and starting to get close to nosing over $70 on crude. And crude oil itself, once you get above 70, you start to run into some stronger resistance points. And so we may be getting to a position about peaking that market out there too. And so I just kind of worry that would enhance maybe some of this fund exit flow out of commodities in general.
Merrill Crowley from First Choice Commodities in Watsika.
Well, I just want to pass along a tweet that I read the other day. It reminded us that bull markets are a little bit like sex. They both feel the best right before they end.
And Randy Martinson of Martinson Ag Risk Management in Fargo, North Dakota.
You know, looking at it, I agree that volatility is going to be a big one that we're going to see going forward. I think weather and I think USD is going to play a role in this when we see where the acres fall in June. I think that's going to be a big one. And then also to keep an eye on the quarterly grain stocks reports because I don't know if all the stocks have been there, so I think we might see some adjustments there as far as supply, the supply side of corn and beans are concerned. So I think we got some surprises coming yet, and I think it's going to be a fun, interesting summer.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like. You can do that on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Ellen Dearden, Dale Durkles, Randy Martinson, and Merrill Crowley. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.